Now, when the foreigners come in, let me see, they switched people. They brought the Israelites out to these other countries, scattered them wherever, and brought people from these other countries and scattered them there. That was the routine of the Assyrians wherever they conquered. They were also extremely cruel and brutal. They were known especially for skinning people alive. But when those foreigners got into this land, animals started attacking their children and their cattle and them. Wild beasts. And they complained to the king of Assyria and said, they knew who was responsible, the God of this land. We don't know how to serve him. So the king of Assyria said, oh, I can fix that. He didn't go down to Jerusalem and ask God's people in Jerusalem, how do you serve your God? They went and got some of the priests for the sins of Jeroboam to bring them down and teach these people how to serve God. But just because those foreigners tried to serve Jehovah, he stopped the beast from killing them. God is better than we are.
Amen.
But the results of this is what Jesus found in John chapter 4 when he did the unspeakable thing and actually passed through this center territory of the Samaritans. See, Jews, really devout Jews wouldn't go straight through Samaria. It's unclean for Jewish feet to touch. They'd cross the Jordan River. This was some Jewish territory here, Perea. And then they'd come into Judean territory. They would not speak to a Samaritan or touch the dirt that belonged to them. Jesus decided he'd pass through there. And he met a woman in Sychar, somewhere up in here. And when she saw that his clothing was Jewish, she immediately wanted to get into a doctrinal debate with him. She noticed he had, he was something about him, about interest in God. She said, you Jews say Jerusalem's a place to worship. But we worship on these hills where Jacob and Abraham worship. Are you greater than our father Jacob?
He could have said yes.
But this is the doctrine that those priests brought back with them. We go back to our original faith. Abraham worshipped in the high places. Jacob worshipped in the high places. That's the doctrine of the woman at the well. And Jesus was so far beyond that, he had to try to come up with something to communicate with this woman. He said, woman, believe me, the time is coming. Then he thought about himself and said, well, it's already here. The time is coming and now is. Nobody else was there, but he was. The time is coming and now is when neither in these high places nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. God, he said, is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. After he talked to her a little bit, she said, I perceive you're a prophet. Well, she was close. Anyway, that's the rest of 2 Kings 17, trying to figure how to keep God from destroying the people that the king of Assyria brought there to teach them how to fear the Lord. They said, we don't know. So it said in verse 32, the conclusion. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, just like Jeroboam, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places, just like Jeroboam and Jezebel. They feared Jehovah and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. And to this day, they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord. I thought it just said they feared the Lord. Not really. They feared him the way they were taught to, but they didn't really fear the living God the way he should have been feared. So they feared God, then they didn't fear God. Reminds me of Joshua telling the Israelites, you cannot serve God. They said, we're going to serve God. He said, you can't do it. Not the way you're thinking. Serve God and the rest of those guys. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. Verse 41, so these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. 2 Kings chapter 20 is a tragedy. It's a tragedy because somebody was healed. And it would have been far better if he had not been. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith Jehovah, set your house in order, for thou shalt not die. Thou shalt die and not live. So Isaiah walks on out, and he turns his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out to the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what's the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord third day? This sign, Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have from Jehovah that he has spoken. You want the clock to go forward? You know, the sundial clock. You want it to go forward 10 degrees or back? Hezekiah answered, well, it's a small thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. It's going that way anyway. Let it go backward. So Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards. He reversed the whole universe, by the which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. When the Assyrians attack Israel and destroy it, they come on down to Jerusalem. That story is told in three different places. It's told in 2 Kings. It's told in 2 Chronicles. And it's told in Isaiah. I chose Isaiah for you all to read. I thought it had more detail than the other. But you can pick up small details from all of them. Now, the general of the Assyrian army comes to Jerusalem and stands outside. Hezekiah has told everybody not to say a word. They're sitting up on the wall, or standing on the wall, watching. Rabshakeh, this general, and all his retinue and his army are behind him, and he's outside the wall. Hezekiah sends the recorder, take notes, and several officials out there to talk with him, and they're talking in the language of the Jews. And he's demanding unconditional surrender. And one of Hezekiah's officials says, let's talk in the Syrian language so that we won't disturb the people. And he said, well, has my master sent me to you? Hasn't he sent me to these people to warn them not to trust Jehovah? Not to trust Hezekiah, who's telling you that your puny little God can rescue you? Don't you know that if you listen to Hezekiah, and by extension Isaiah, whoever else may be in town, you're going to die, you and your families? Surrender to me. We'll give you horses. If you got enough people in there to sit on them. We'll take you to a nice place. And the messengers went in. They tore their clothes. Went in. Hezekiah tore his clothes. And went to his only help. Went to the temple. Fell down before God. Said, God, help. That's in chapter 36. Chapter 37, verse 1. Isaiah 37, verse 1, right? But now at the end, near the end of chapter 36, you see him making fun of Jehovah. Verse 18 of chapter 36. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, Jehovah will deliver us. Have any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that they have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Jehovah should deliver this place out of my hand? But they held their peace because Hezekiah said, don't say anything. They did very well to stay quiet. Did very well. Verse 6, Isaiah said to them, thus shall you say to your master. This is Hezekiah's servants came to him. He said, go back and tell Hezekiah, thus saith Jehovah, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. I'm going to send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and he's going to die there. Now, they had a little interlude here where the Assyrians found they had to deal with the problem over here at Lachish. But they were soon back, and they sent a letter to Hezekiah. Again, bragging about all his conquest and how in verse 12, how the gods of those nations have not been able to conquer us. But I want to find one place where he said something here. It's in here somewhere. I'll just tell you. You might be able to find it better than I did. He said, did I come without Jehovah sending me? Am I come without the Lord? The Lord said to me. This is what the king of Assyria, the message he's sending to Hezekiah. The Lord said to me, go destroy that land. Somewhere, somehow, Jehovah had contacted the king of Assyria and commanded him by some prophet to come down there and destroy Israel. Now this king does not understand this God of Israel. And he thinks that the God of Israel is angry with Hezekiah. Why would the God of Israel be angry with Hezekiah? 36:10. He thinks he knows why Jehovah sent him down there. In verse 10, am I come without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go against this land. And the reason he thinks that Jehovah sent him down here to destroy this land is that Hezekiah has destroyed all his altars off the high places. He says so. In verse 7, but if you say to me, we trust in Jehovah our God, well, isn't that the God whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? Hezekiah's here destroying all these beautiful altars everywhere and cutting down all these groves and tearing up all these images, and Jehovah got mad and sent me here to fix him. Oh, we worshiped Jehovah just this morning down the street. We're going to set things straight around here. Besides that, your little God can't handle us. They believed in Jehovah. They had no problem believing in Jehovah. They just didn't know him. But he thought he knew why Jehovah sent that prophet to say, come destroy Israel. Because Hezekiah had shown him such disrespect by destroying all those altars everywhere. I love this scene when the king of Assyria sends a letter to Hezekiah. And he can't fight this king. Israel's gone. Isaiah saying, don't make a league with anybody. If the Egyptians offer help, say no. He's all alone. But Hosea, who's living at this time, has lived real close to this time, has already said, God's going to save his people, but not by bow and not by sword and not by horsemen, not by mighty men. He'd already prophesied all that. So Hezekiah tears his clothes, goes back to the temple, and I love this scene. He opens up the letter and says, God, did you read this?
I like it.
He holds the letter up to God. Praise God. Look at what he's saying about you. I know he destroyed the gods of Arphad and Sepharvaim. They're no gods. You're God. Look at what he's saying about you. You know, God, as far as we know, never spoke to Hezekiah. God spoke to Isaiah, told him to go to Hezekiah and say, I've read that letter. Praise God. And I want you to write a letter back to him. And this is what I want you to say to that mighty, mighty man. Chapter 37, verse 22. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Hezekiah, you write him a letter. The king of Assyria, whoever he was at this time, Shalmaneser or whoever, read these words. The virgin, the little girl, the daughter of Zion has despised... Nah, 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 nah. That's what it is. The little girl has despised you and laughed you to scorn, ridiculed you, mocked you. The daughter of Jerusalem is shaking her head at you. I don't even have to use men to defeat you. Our little girls are laughing about it. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have you exalted your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? The Holy One of Israel. By your servants have you reproached the Lord, and have said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. I will cut down the tall cedars thereof and the choice fir trees. I will enter into the height of his border and the forest of his Carmel. You think I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Haven't you heard how I prophesied about this a long time ago? Haven't you ever read Isaiah chapter 10? Well, you didn't even have it in your heart, and I'd already planned it. Oh, that reminds me. Look at Isaiah chapter 10, and get your map books out. I love this. At the end of the chapter, talking about God knowing ahead of time. With your map books now, look at this. You'll have to have one of the maps that has a lot of detailed, maybe 62, 63. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off from off thy shoulder, and his yoke, that's the Assyrian, his yoke from thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And then God tells, through Isaiah, tells Hezekiah, or whoever's king at that time, this is the path they're going to take toward Jerusalem. First of all, he comes to Aiath. Can you find that on the map? It's just north of Jerusalem. I mean, these are the teeny tiny towns that are just north of the city. You see Aiath anywhere?
Page
73. Is it on 73? On the map? Oh, yeah, all of them on this map. The little bitty villages north of Jerusalem, God tells this king the route that these Assyrians are going to take. Page 73. They're going to go to Aiath. And then they're going to come on and they're going to count at he has passed to Migron. Then he chooses Michmash to lay all his baggage. That's his supply depot at Michmash. You see that? Then they've gone over the passage and taken up their... They camped at Geba. They're going to go to Geba next. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah of Saul, all the people have fled away. They don't know whether he's going there next or not. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard unto Laish. O poor Anathoth. I wonder what the Assyrians did there. Madmena is removed. And the inhabitants of Gibeon gather themselves to flee. On that day, he's camped at Nob. See Nob? The city of priests, where the priests should have been. And he's going to shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall cut off the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Talking about chopping down his forest. And now that guy is standing outside Jerusalem saying, you see what I've done? And God, years ago, told him he'd be standing there shaking his fist the way he was. And he's writing back this letter from Hezekiah saying, haven't you read the book? I said you'd be there saying that. Glory to God. You didn't even know it was in your heart. I put it there. Didn't you hear about that? God said we'd be here praising Him. A people that shall be created to praise me. Shall praise me. Hast thou not heard, Isaiah 37:26, hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? And of ancient times that I formed it. This is God talking to him now. Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be in power, that is, be able to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. That's why their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as the corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know where you are. I know when you go out, and I know you're coming in, and I've heard your rage against me. And because your rage against me and your tumult has come up into mine ears, I'm going to put my hook in your nose. Now, they used a hook in other people's noses or upper lips to jerk their head up so they could jab their eyes out. So God's going to put a hook in his nose and haul him back off. And my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And then God spoke to Hezekiah a few things. The zeal of the Lord shall do this. Verse 33. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city. Now that guy was not getting into Jerusalem. He shall not come into this city. It didn't matter if he had a nuclear weapon. He was not getting into that city. Nor shoot an arrow there. Nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith Jehovah. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Boy, that was the message the king of Assyria read. He read the same thing we read just then. He wasn't shouting about it either. He's determined to teach them a lesson. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 men. Now, somewhere in the verses that we skipped, Isaiah prophesied, I think it was in Isaiah 7, Isaiah prophesied that when God finished cutting down this forest, there'd be so forest of army soldiers out there around Jerusalem, there'd be so few trees, men left, that a little child could count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now that's something. Out of an army of almost 200,000. Just a little child could count how many God would leave to go tell the story. And I was wondering today, I wonder if God chose, I know God chose those particular people to survive for a reason. They had something in their heart that caused them to survive. They were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. This is the end of the empire of Assyria. They were taking a long dip now. They never did get to be great again. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his own sons, murdered him. And they escaped up into Ararat, land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, 2 Chronicles 32 is the last one. Second Chronicles 32? Oh, is it? Oh, that's the Babylonian messengers paying Hezekiah a visit. I wonder why Hezekiah did this. I know that the Babylonian king was up to no good. He didn't care about Hezekiah. He heard he'd been sick and sent messengers to tell him, oh, we're so sorry you're sick. The world never has the love of God. He was after something. And Hezekiah, who should have been dead, it would have been better for him to have already been dead. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. And apparently he was so impressed at this show of friendship from a king so far away. I mean, it's a flattering thing to be sick way over in Canaan's land and the king over here in Babylon care about you. It just really opened him up too much. And he showed off his riches and his houses and his palace. And afterward, Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, who are these men? Oh, they're messengers from Babylon. Hezekiah said, well, what'd they see? He said, they saw everything I've got. And Isaiah said, well, everything you've got, everything that belongs here is going to go to Babylon. Then Hezekiah dies after that. 2 Chronicles 32:27. Yep.
Does that have anything to do with Babylon? You told us that the story of Jonah, how Assyria was anointed to take Israel.
Well, yeah, this is all part of God choosing Babylon to destroy Judah. But the king of Babylon was prepared to destroy Judah when God made him insane for 7 years. Taught him to fear Jehovah. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 27. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and gold, and for precious stones, spices, shields, all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks, fenced in areas. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon, brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. Now this, by the way, Hezekiah mentions this in one of those stories about when the Assyrians were coming. Hezekiah knew the city was in trouble, no water. So he dug a tunnel. It's a magnificent tunnel. It's still there. The workers started at some kind of spring of Gihon. I don't know if this spring or the other one. And inside the city, they dug through solid rock. And I don't know how they did it. It was measured, and they came right together. When they came together, they chiseled on there. The men of Hezekiah had done this, and they got together. And that still exists, too. But you can still go through that tunnel of Hezekiah. It's a very famous tunnel. That he dug it just because the Assyrians were coming. And so the people in the city could go from inside the city to the water source without going outside. And they hid the water source, of course, from the Assyrian, the spring. So he did that too. That, I think that's what it's talking about here, when he stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. Verse 31, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. Oh, they came there to inquire of the wonder, the miraculous thing. Bring the destruction of Assyria. They would have been very happy. Huh? Well, the Babylonians gave the world 60 minutes and 24 hours. And 360 days. They're the ones that gave us timekeeping. So they would have known if everything went backwards one day. And they did, and God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David. They really loved him. You know, whoever was in charge of burying people seemed to always know who was good and who was evil. Seemed to always know where to put the dead people. They didn't know what to do with living people. Yeah, get that undertaker to give him some advice.
Don't you think that was because when they were being blessed and they made
money? Yeah, maybe so. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death, and Manasseh, his 12-year-old son, reigned in his stead. And if you've started reading in the book All Things at this point, you know that Manasseh is the very worst of all kings that have been. North or south, he's as rotten as it gets. That's why I say it would have been better for Hezekiah to have died 15 years before. If he had died, Manasseh would never have been born. Yes? God left in his possession, whatever he was talking about. 2 Chronicles 32:31, in the business. God left him to try him. Yeah. It didn't mean God departed from him. God left that situation on him, or left him in that position. Yeah, to deal with it. God hadn't gone anywhere. You have a question about what?
When the people that took over, the Assyrians brought down to live in the northern kingdom.
Yeah.
When they brought that priest down and all that, you think that's when they started circumcising themselves in order to worship Jehovah?
Yeah, they would have circumcised their children. The Samaritans circumcised their children. They believed in that, what Abraham did. Yeah, I would think they might have started circumcising their children then.
I had a question. Was it Isaiah 6 talking about the coal that was put in his mouth?
Or touched his lips.
Would that be the same as his, removing his sins, would that be forgiving his sins?
Yeah, I would think. At least. What's the wording there, Bob? Isaiah 6. Your sins are purged, doesn't it say? That's unusual wording in the Old Testament, but it happens sometimes. I never thought about that.
We talked about how David was, had his sins washed away.
Let's see exactly what that word is. Isaiah 6. This has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. How about that? That's more than forgiven.
I think that means he was sanctified to be able to speak the truth to him without prophet.
Yeah, but Bob's talking about there is no such thing in the Old Testament as sin being taken away or purged from the record. That would have been something Isaiah wouldn't have understood, if that's what he was talking about. Like David didn't understand when God took away his sin, put away his sin. That's a remarkable event. I never noticed that.
Was that in a dream?
That was a vision. That was in heaven. That was reality. It was an experience. It wasn't a dream. Anything else? Okay, so we're in All Things book in the morning. It's worth reading at least once.
Many people laugh and cry. So many people that died, but they never believed in me the way that you. Your behind the steeple where they hide. Frightened people still locked inside, they're longing for something more. But what too much fear to leave. Be full of love, be full of feelings for tonight. Be thankful for all you feel through me. Their day is coming, it's not very far away. They'll be looking for something more, for love from you and me. Time is coming, it's near at hand. A revolution across the land. I'm going to break those chains, and the gates will open wide. The day is coming, you can feel it near. It may be a day, a week, a month, a year. Don't you feel the longing too? Can't you feel it deep inside? I'm not forsaken you, and I'm not forsaken them. They've just had their eyes blinded to me. But then the truth will come, and they'll know. They'll be looking for something more, for love from you and me. Waiting with my arms stretched open wide, and I will ask the same of you. They will be looking for the place where they belong. They'll be searching for more of you, wondering what to do. If you would just love them the way that I love you. I'll be here waiting with my arms stretched open wide, and I will ask the same of you. They will be looking for the place where they belong. They'll be searching for more of me, wondering what to do, if you would just love them the way that I love you. 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 So love in the way that I love you.